one of the things I wanted to get into as well was the it's as if some older form is coming back. And I thought it was really interesting that when the coronavirus first appeared, it appeared in the form of the bat. And I was listening to, that's what I was saying on Twitter. I was going to, on John David Ebert's podcast about cultural immune systems, they were talking about Peter Sloterdijk's bubble philosophy, which is everybody exists within bubbles. A sort of the primal form is us being in a womb, and then man kind of tries to replicate that in the real world on a personal level, and then to the level of the house, and then to go out and, you know, if you're in a couple, then you'll have your own bubble. And then eventually it ends with nations and civilizations. I mean, I've never read his work. I've just picked up a bit here or there. I'm not an expert on it. But I got the gist of it when they were talking about it. And it's the bubble has a way of pushing things out and protecting itself. And what Ebert was getting into was that there comes a time when the bubble actually ruptures, and then all of the previous forms and ideas are rushed back in, and it doesn't know how to deal with it. And he was saying that the internet is a way to burst these cultural bubbles. And you can see in the case of China, where they've restricted it, and essentially they're keeping it within their own bubble. And what I thought was funny was that the bat itself is in the West, it's symbolic of pestilence and disease and evil. And even in this sort of hyper-technological age, the bat appears in China as the symbol of the coronavirus. And then it goes viral on the internet for like a week or two. And it was as if it was the corona. So it's a funny thing. And then that's followed by the virus in real life. And people, of course, will say, well, all of this is just coincidence, and this is, you know, it didn't matter. And it's because they're trying to think of it in this rational frame, but that's also within the bubble. Do you see what I mean? And so you get, I'm fascinated by all this stuff, actually.
Yeah, and I did think there was definitely something really symbolic about that image that was going around everywhere of the, I don't know, was it a fork or a chopstick, but the bat on the end of it with like the grimacing face sort of staring directly at the camera. It was kind of like everyone was kind of staring at the barbarity that still exists, that we like to kind of sweep under the carpet and say doesn't, even within developed countries. And, you know, Richard Spencer says that there's these events like 9/11 or the financial crash, and then for a few years, everything is defined going back to them. There's a philosopher in phenomenology, Jean-Luc Marion, and he talks about these saturated events. There's like a saturation of givenness. He uses all these phenomenological language, but similar to 9/11 in that there's things that happen kind of outside our interpretive frame that are sort of beyond even the hyperreal or beyond anything we could imagine. And that they do kind of change the entire dialectic then going forward in politics and everything else. And it is looking like coronavirus is going to be one of those events. And to be honest, it does look like the kind of event that'll benefit people like ourselves. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of shocked some of the normies, the things I'm hearing them say, just in my own life, related to, you know, immigration and closing the borders and the eating habits of the Chinese. And you do see, for all the liberal fantasies, how quickly people will revert to that natural distrust of the outsider. So I definitely think in the next few months, I think it could lead to a fairly large paradigm shift. And the other thing is, one thing is the nationalist sentiment, but the other thing is, there's a huge number of people now that are just being left behind in the discourse. Like Paul Joseph Watson and Styx Hexenhammer were on Twitter yesterday, and they're trying to blame all this on socialized healthcare. And I guess the point where no one even seriously engages these people, it's just like, if you're trying to tell me that there's people dying in Italy because the healthcare isn't expensive enough, like, no one is going to take this seriously. So I do think that there'll be certain political paradigm shifts coming out of this that may not be reversed. And it's definitely going to be interesting to see where it goes.
is the funny thing is just the idea as well is that people aren't too sure where the virus came from, and you get conspiracy theories coming out about whether it was engineered by NGOs and whether the elites are in on it, and Israel has a vaccine already. And this also speaks to the current zeitgeist as well. And so you have this mixture of the creature from an older mythology, which represents pestilence, but it's also being completely wrapped up and integrated into the discourse in hyper modernity of sort of online viral memes, and then a virus in real life, but then also distrust of the elites and government, and fatigue with globalism. And it's kind of all, and a lot more than that as well, because as we were just saying, the actual effect of it on a multicultural society, the cynicism of the elites, at least in Britain. And so you kind of, the coronavirus is encapsulating everything which was going wrong with the zeitgeist. And I've been kind of, because I like to get into movies and stuff on my channel. And something like the Godzilla movie, I was mentioned, I did a piece on last year. And there has been for a long time this general sense of doom and gloom in the main culture. This expectation that something was coming, something catastrophic, and it's as if it's almost been willed into existence.
Yeah, that's definitely very true. I mean, I think what this does basically is not even so much that it accelerates stuff, but it just pulls back the curtain on everything because for the next few weeks, everyone is paying attention to politics, everyone is paying attention to national policy and to what's going on. And then, suddenly people start asking questions. Why is the Federal Reserve printing $1.5 trillion to give to speculators on Wall Street? Why is Steven Pinker going on Twitter telling us that closing borders never works to quarantine viruses? And why are all these people like Steven Pinker, all these journalists of a certain extraction, telling us that border control is white supremacy? So all of these things, like all of these things that we go blue in the face talking about, they're suddenly laid bare there for everyone to see. I mean, I did a video a while back of all the journalists that were saying that closing borders can't work and won't work. And it was this deep attachment to the friend-enemy distinction where you can tell, and again, all of these journalists were of a similar background to Steven Pinker, but you can tell reading it that these people are absolutely terrified that there may be a reversion to that old friend-enemy distinction where the potential enemy is the outsider, and then there's a national solidarity within that bubble of the nation, and they're desperate to try and maintain this friend-enemy distinction where the enemy is the illiberal person and the friend is the liberal person, regardless of race or creed. But the question is, can they maintain that in an epidemic that goes on for months, that everyone is quite aware, regardless of what they tell us, came from outsiders, came from foreigners, and everyone is witnessing a hostile elite that are kowtowing to the financial sector and not doing much for the people. And I think it'll be a big paradigm shift. I mean, we can't know where it's going, but
Even on the personal level of being suspicious about somebody who coughs. I've seen these little videos on the internet where you see a bunch of people standing at a bus shelter, and there was one where a woman just coughed into her hand, and everybody immediately sort of started spraying her with stuff and kicking her into the road. And this is the exact same mentality which they've spent decades. I mean, they have campaigns telling us transsexuals and all of this stuff's normal, or we have the deformed Olympics of weird people with no legs in swimming competitions, and they everything which is an outsider, everything which is alien has been normalized. Or we're told that it doesn't exist at all. And so now it's like, well, are you willing to die on that principle? And it doesn't look like people are at all.
Yeah, and I find it funny as well. You always see these people going around on Twitter or journalists or whatever, and the panic about oh, people are being racist because of this, and this is creating racism. And you will get the, you know, you will get the centrist types like Watson or whatever that'll make fun of this and be like, oh, everything is about racism with the left. But I mean, to an extent, it's true, and I think they're actually, it's not just hysteria on their part. I think they see what's happening and they see this direct the direction this is going in, and they're terrified by it. But fundamentally, there's nothing they can do to stop it. And I mean, we've always talked about this, that multiculturalism is, you know, at its foundations is weak, and that eventually there would be some event that would come along. And you know, people always talk about the collapse, and I obviously I don't think it's going to be like a full collapse or anything. But for a while, we've been talking about that. Basically, we're waiting for some event that's a big paradigm shift. And Trump in 2016 was like a false start. And it's weird, like since Trump, for the last 4 years, we've been living, there's been this weird cultural, there's been this weird feeling in the culture where everyone was expecting this kind of acceleration, and everyone was expecting this ultimate battle between nationalism and globalism. And it was this false start, and instead it was like a typical Republican presidency for 4 years. So really, I mean, since the financial crash, you know, you had 8 years of Obama where he was, you know, again, if on the other side, a complete disappointment. He governed as a typical neoliberal president. And then the false start of Trump. And really, since the financial crash, I mean, this is the first kind of global, worldwide event that's affecting everyone. And the internet just kind of amplifies it because in real time, you're watching this happening and you're watching the reactions. I mean, from our side, we all said that this was going to happen. We all predicted this. It was completely obvious that letting people fly from Northern Italy to Ireland, for example, was going to eventually bring the virus here. The government said that they couldn't stop it due to the economy. But now all the governments are going to end up cancelling flights anyway. I mean, Trump has cancelled travel from Europe. And so it's just, there's no way to rescue any of the liberal myths when this happens. And I think you can recognize the fear of that in the leftist journalists. Now, they're already trying to in before that because I think they know what's coming down the line.
The thing on the Fed printing off $1.5 trillion, I find that fascinating because in nationalist circles, the Federal Reserve and the ability to print money and endless amounts of money, it was always seen as a sort of final boss in the struggle. And you know, in all fairness, with good justification, because it was always where, you know, they'd buy out shares in Twitter and start banging everybody, or they'd buy this newspaper, they'd buy this TV network, or they'd pump a load of money into an opposition political party or pay off somebody. It always came down to money, and it's worked for them for a long time. And then all of a sudden, you know, the like you said before, the coronavirus, like it is like the Joker from Batman, because it isn't about money. It doesn't matter how much money they throw at this, like their knee-jerk reaction. Oh, we're okay, the system is under threat, let's pump off $1.5 trillion. And it's like, well, why? What do you think that's gonna do? You've already got the manpower to deal with it. It's just that you don't. And so they've got this like sort of super weapon which they've used to control everything, and they've been completely blindsided by this new virus, which began, you know, in our minds as a bat going viral, a figure of pestilence and plague on the internet. And then it arrives in the real world, and it encapsulates everything, even the fact that that would be their reaction to this new threat. Everything is wrapped up in this viral thing.